Good morning, everyone. This Sunday is a first for us here at Cornerstone. Recording this sermon for you is really quite odd because I'm sitting here in the sanctuary and none of you are here, just a lot of empty blue chairs. But this is not the first odd thing that has happened in the past week and week and a half. Now, normally we pray before I preach, and since this is the recording, I would like us if we could all pray together now. Holy Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your providence and for your blessing. We thank you for how you've cared for us, especially in this past week and in this upcoming week as well. Lord, I pray for each member of our church, and I pray that you protect them and that you keep them, Lord, and that they experience your peace as they live their lives. We thank you, Father, for who you are. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now, this past week has been really insane, and what started as a trickle very quickly became a torrent. Now, of course, if you go back just a little over a week ago to March the 13th on that Friday, I got an email from volunteer services that were canceling all long-term care services and limiting contact with the long-term care people. That was to be expected because we did have some COVID-19 cases in Alberta. But the following day on Saturday, we were getting several different updates, with the last one being that a gathering of over 50 people was advised to shut down. And after talking with some leadership, it looked like we were needing to do that, to follow with that. And for the first time that I could ever remember or that I've ever heard of, church was canceled due to a public health scare. Now, that was weird enough, having to change the sign and let people know that Alberta Health had advised us to shut down. But the following day on Sunday, there was a province-wide shutdown of all schools, everything from kindergarten to post-secondary. That Monday, public gathering places were dispersed and were shut down. Theaters, gyms, pools, and so on and so forth continued to just shut down. On Tuesday, there was a province-wide state of emergency called for COVID-19 as cases started to spike. And on Wednesday, Canada began to shut its border with Europe and other sections of the world. Now, Canada had never experienced anything like that before, but on the following day, on a Thursday, Canada began to even restrict borders to the U.S., allowing people to come through, but only essential goods. The world had started to do things that we really didn't think would happen, and it happened in a very fast and very progressive manner. Now, that Sunday night that schools had been shut down, I decided to walk over to the grocery store. And so I walked through the quiet streets of Fairview, and I got into the grocery store, and I looked over, and I could see that there was sections of the grocery store that were mostly empty, especially the canned goods aisle. And as I walked into the canned goods aisle, I saw two women there kind of looking at the empty shelves, and they looked up at me, and they said, "Would you ever have imagined that this could happen here in Fairview?" And we kind of laughed at the time because we did notice that most of the healthy stuff was all there, and all of the canned goods and other simple stuff was all gone. And one woman looks at a can of beets and she says, "Well, I hope my kids don't mind eating this because it might be all they get for a while." And I had to also kind of agree with her because it was that or chickpeas. Now, it was kind of interesting because as I went through the grocery store, people were calm enough in terms of walking around and moving around. But as I kind of looked in the aisle there and I could see people were kind of stocking up on a lot of things, I could physically see something different in their faces. I could see some fear. And as walking home, and it felt a little more quiet than normal, and it looked a little more sedentary, you couldn't help but feel a little bit of heaviness. There's this blanket of anxiety and fear. Now, that's really interesting because people actually can spread fear. Fear is something that if enough people start to feel it, it starts to become contagious and it starts to spread. And typically when that starts to spread, there's two responses. There's panic, and that's the Chicken Little syndrome, right? We all know the story of Chicken Little. He's a little chicken, and an acorn falls on his head. He thinks the sky is falling, and he runs across the countryside telling everyone that the end is near. And the assumption in that panic is that I have no control. And on the flip side of that, you'll get on the other extreme, you'll get people that get enraged. They get angry. They ignore and they deny the facts. And no matter what you tell them, no matter how serious it is, no matter how obvious it is to everyone, they just simply refuse to accept that there is a problem. And underneath that, there's this attitude of just don't tell me what to do. And they assume that they have complete control over their lives. Now, both responses, even though they're extremely different, are reactions to fear, and they don't work because they both have lost perspective. And the biblical perspective, what it does is it kills fear and it explains the nature of control. And I want to share that with you this morning so that you can beat fear and anxiety in the days ahead as you go through the next week as our country responds to the continuing COVID-19 problem. Now, I realize that you'll hear this, and I'll read this for you, but I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to Psalm 121, and I'd like you to meditate on that a little further than what I'll preach for you today. But it's a great little psalm, and it really tells us how to deal with fear. And starting in verse 1, it says this, "I lift my eyes to the mountains, and where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Now, this little psalm was written by David, and David was someone who understood fear because he spent a good chunk of his life, about 10 years, on the run. And often in that 10-year period, he would go through intense times of where it was day-to-day movement. Sometimes he would hole up for a while, but often he would spend a lot of time literally on the run. And a couple of the times when King Saul was hunting him, he came so close that it looked like everything would be lost. And we're talking King Saul and David would have been within feet of each other. David knows what fear is like. He knows what it's like to live with uncertainty. He knows what it's like to live with that anxiety. And he knows that blanket of fear. But Psalm 121 reveals how David's heart is based on God's truth. And that truth is so important because that's how David lived confidently and fearlessly. And he didn't just have luck. He didn't just have good circumstances. That was the anchor that he used to get through those brutal 10 years of his life and become God's beloved and the King of Israel. Now, if you look at Psalm 121 and you're walking through those verses, it's built like a nice little sandwich. And of course, you guys have heard me say this before, but Old Testament poetry especially like to do things in terms of a sandwich. So the beginning part of a psalm and the end part of a psalm is kind of like the bread on the outside, and the middle is kind of the meat in the center. And so it's important to kind of read it that way. And so there's really kind of three things going on in this little sandwich that we've got here. And you look at the first two verses, and what it tells us there in those first two verses is it tells us that perspective is essential. It tells us that David lifts his eyes up to the mountains, and he does so that he can see where his help comes from. It's the maker of heaven and earth. Now, some have said that David wrote looking up at the hills to be more literal in terms of looking up to see where the enemy is coming or to see where danger is at. But that's really not the sense of this passage at all. Fear is not coming over the hills, and it's not about trying to be more prepared. It's actually regaining context on life. And when you do that, to actually see God's hand and to see the character of God himself. God does what he does, but sometimes when we stare so at things so closely to our face that we no longer can actually see the bigger picture of God anymore. And that's a very real reality for us here today when we're looking at COVID-19 and we're actually looking at things on a day-by-day basis. It seems to be getting more and more scary. Now, one of Karen's friends stopped by the grocery store this past Tuesday, and when she went into the grocery store, she took her kids with her, and what she said she experienced was a lot of bare shelves everywhere, and then often she would see an entirely empty shelf, and there would just be one single can left, like a can of corn or something of that nature, and she didn't actually realize that this would really scare her children. As she's walking through the aisles, and they're seeing bare shelf after bare shelf after bare shelf, all of a sudden, their kids start to see that there's nothing there. And they start to freak out. And they start crying right in the middle of the grocery store and thinking there's not going to be any food for them. Well, she comforts her kids and she lets them know that, don't worry, kids, we still have food at home and they will restock the shelves. But it didn't really matter for the kids because once they're scared like that, it's hard for them to regain their perspective. David doesn't look at the empty grocery shelves. He steps out of the grocery store to look at the horizon to see where God is, to look at the bigger picture. Fear will grip us, but it only grips us when we allow it to get right in our face and to block our vision. Horizon always gives us perspective, but more importantly, it always gives us God. Now, as you go into the middle part of the psalm there, right, the sandwich in the middle there, verses 3 through to 6, that's the middle part. There's really just one common theme going through there. It talks about how, you know, God will not let your foot slip, he will not, nor will God sleep or slumber, and no matter what happens, no harm will come to you day or night. Now, what this is getting at is really not what it seems to be saying literally. It's not saying that you're going to have a perfect life with where you're in control because you've got God who's basically like an insurance policy and he's there to make sure that everything operates okay. But what it's highlighting actually is that God is in complete and total control, literally of everything, in view of what is coming to you and what has happened from behind. Now, I haven't lived life for very long. And if you talk to some of our older people in the church, they will tell you that hindsight is 20/20. And that phrase, hindsight is 20/20, is really getting at how we can see clearly after we've seen things pass behind us. And that's actually something that God gives us intuitively, and he does that so that we can see his activity after the fact. God lets us clearly see the events that happen and how they work out for his purposes as we view them in the past, and that happens so that we can see that broader horizon. So in other words, to look behind and to remember what God has done is to allow you to look forward and to allow him to have the control of things as they're unfolding ahead of you. If you've gone through financial crisis before, or you've gone through a very hard time and you see how God has miraculously pulled you through regardless of how hard it is, or you have seen things just miraculously fall into place to meet the needs of what you had right then and there, that's what the psalmist is getting at. Now, when my son and I went to the grocery store the other day, we went to Grand Prairie, and now we haven't been hoarding at all, and we've actually not been responding, and we've been doing our once-a-month trip to Grand Prairie to bulk up on some of our larger supplies. And what really struck me was how bare the superstore was. There are certain items we just simply could not get, not just toilet paper, but also flour, oats, a few other things of that nature. So we went to several other grocery stores, and it really didn't matter if we were in a very small grocery store in a small town, or we were in a big one in a big town. It was all the same thing. People were hoarding and taking more than they needed because they did not see the control that God would have for them. And because they had lost that perspective, it didn't really matter anymore what was sensible to them. They could not actually judge what was up or what was down. But God doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep. It's not contingent on what you can and can't do. It's contingent on what he does. And as you move into verse 7 and 8 there, it really kind of tries to parallel 1 and 2 perfectly. And what it says in verse 7 and 8 is really quite profound. It says that the Lord will keep you from harm. And that as he keeps you from harm, he's going to do that by watching over your coming and your going. Now, it's not saying that you're going to be kept from anything evil in life and that bad things won't happen to you. And if you lived on this world for a little bit and you've gone through some experiences, you'll know that bad things will happen. Sometimes people will do evil things to you. Regardless of how many times the government says don't hoard, people will still hoard. Regardless of how things seem to be okay, people will continue to panic. Regardless of how many facts are thrown out there, people will refuse to see them sometimes. But the point of that passage is not to say that things won't happen to you, but what it's trying to tell you is that you will be well-armed to deal with life's problems regardless of what happens. No matter how terrible things are, no matter how silly things are, no matter how intense things are, on a day-to-day basis, you are well-armed. How are you well-armed? By God's presence. That coming and that going, that phrase there is really profound. It's not generically speaking about everything. It's not talking about God being up on a throne up in heaven way thousands of kilometers higher than you are, and he's looking through a microscope and he kind of sees you like an ant on the ground kind of moving around. That's not talking like that. It's very personal. That coming and going is talking about literally everything that encompasses your life. That all the things that you're doing, all the things that you're planning, everything that you're living and experiencing, the feelings you have in your heart and in your head, the moment-to-moment experiences of your life. And it's not seeing it from above, it is literally seeing it beside. That coming and that going is a personal walk alongside you. And that's both now and forevermore. That now and forevermore isn't just a nice little poetic way of ending that promise. It's giving a profound impact on what that means for you. You're going to have to decide whether or not it's more encouraging that the promise starts for you today, meaning now, as you're in COVID-19, and in the days to follow with whatever else unfolds in your life, or that it's forevermore. That this promise will be continuing on, running past time itself, beyond anything that could be eternal, because it's based on God and who He is, what He's promised, because He is the source of control and He is the source of care, not you. And if you're feeling anxiety, I need to encourage you, as you're listening to this, to simply look at the horizon. Refocus on the horizon, gain perspective, because God is there beside you, listening to you and speaking to you. And if you feel anxiety and fear continuing to come on as you are walking through your day, I want to leave you with Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, which really tells us what this means to walk with Him on a daily basis. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and in your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer and petition are two specific actions that we do. And if you pray and you do and you petition God, you are in persistent conversation with Him and you are walking with Him, but you are listening to Him. You're not simply blindly following and staring at your feet. You are holding His hand. You are walking behind Him. You see Him. You have Him in sight, and you are with Him. And He's telling you that He's with you, but He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to come to Him with all things. So I want to challenge and I want to encourage you to persistently walk and talk and listen to God. One thing I have seen consistently with people who are being gripped by fear is they start to clamp down, they start to clam up, they start to fixate, and they stop talking. They get silent and they stop reading their Bibles, they stop coming to God, and they stop sharing with others. Take time to just simply read God's word. Take time to meditate on it, and take time to converse with others, either on the phone or wherever you can socially, where it's appropriate to do so. But to talk about what God is doing, to talk about what He has done, and to talk about how He is working. Now, some of you might not know this today, but Barb's mom had passed away. And I had a chance to talk to her on the phone today, and she shared with me that she was a little stressed about going out to Saskatchewan to British Columbia, because of what's going on with COVID-19. And of course, you know how the flights are very empty, and we don't really know what's going on. But what I was really struck by was her profound lack of fear and strong sense of faith. She said, "My mom is home. God has everything in control, and I am grateful for how He's taking care of us today." Satan loves to make you feel isolated, and he does that so that he can make you afraid, because if he can make you afraid, he can get you to panic or he can get you to rage, and if he does either one of those things, he will keep you from being effective and from following the Lord. The truth is, like Barb had stated to me on the phone, you are never alone, so talk with God often. And share with others where you can. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank You for how You are with us each and every step of every day. Father, I pray that You be with each and every member of our church and all of those that we know and that we care about. And Father, I pray that You be with our community here in Fairview and with our country. Lord, I pray that fear cannot have the final say and have the grip over society and over us. I pray, Father, that You renew our hearts and You renew our faith as we walk steadfastly with You. Be with each and every member, Father, in this upcoming week, and be with us as we continue to find ways to thrive and to grow as a church here in Fairview. Be with us this day, we pray, in your Son's name. Amen.